Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
It says, Bub joined in portrait orientation. You may wish to tell them to switch to landscape so it matches yours. I also have no video, only audio, which is
okay. Well, no, you don't, because oh, God.
What's going on?
Oh, I stayed out way too late in Vegas.
Are you still in Vegas? God. I thought you were like flying home this morning and you were going.
No. I got here yesterday.
Ah, okay.
Oh, God.
Mr. Bo partying.
It was not my plan.
Okay.
Let's try to do this best we can.
Okay, hold on. There we go.
Pull that. Oh my. There we go.
All right, I'm turning off the AC. Turning down the fan. Okay, here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, September 7th, 2024. It is 1810 UTC as we're starting to record. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here, sort of, kind of. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. How are you?
You're so peppy.
How's everybody?
You're so peppy, excited.
I'm peppy. Oh, yeah. Peppy. Peppy and cheap. Yes.
Peppy Le Pew.
That's what they call it. Yeah, that's what they call me. Oh, God.
Ew. Okay, so we're going to do our butt first, and then we're going to talk more serious topics. So I am going to ask Yvonne to like elaborate on his condition a little bit. But right off the top, I just want to note that of the podcast version of Curmudgeon's Corner, so not counting the WRCT radio show when we were in college, this here is the 900th episode.
Oh, wow. So, there you go.
So big milestone. And I
decided to arrive perfectly ready to go.
Okay, so I will have my usual movie later, and I said last week it's going to be Ghostbusters 2. But first, Yvonne, what the hell is going on with you? What's happening?
I'm in Vegas.
Yeah.
I got here yesterday. I didn't... I got, so because of my work performance in sales.
You're getting an award. You mentioned that last week.
Right. And so it's here in Vegas. And so I arrived yesterday for this. It's going to be through Monday that then I go home. My wife didn't come because... And understandably, I don't know if you remember how jet lagged she was in Seattle when we visited.
Vaguely, okay.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, like, you know, yeah, she.
I remember everyone got the flu, but yeah, I don't remember the jet lag.
Oh, God, the flu. And we got the flu. But she was very jet lagged. And so she was like, look, this trip, we're going to go there, what, on a Friday? Mm-hmm. And then to come back on Monday? And I'm like, no, so it's okay. And so, I gotta be honest, I was so tired. I got sick last week, as everybody knows.
Yep.
That listens to the podcast. It was not my best week last week. And I was like really debating, do I really want to go to Vegas? I'm like, I don't care if it works. So, you know. So, okay, fine. Yeah, yesterday, I had to get up at a stupidly early hour. Go to the damn airport again to get on the damn flight to Vegas, which isn't the short flight. Okay.
So wait, your flight was Friday morning or this
morning?
Yeah,
Friday morning.
Friday
morning. Friday morning, yes, you know, to fly in yesterday. And then one of the things that happened on the way over is, so I've been flying so much that American Airlines, they charge for Wi-Fi. Some airlines don't right now, but American does. So they have this thing where either you pay every flight or you sign up for a monthly subscription.
Right, right.
Well, given how much I've been flying,
you signed up for the monthly subscription.
I signed up for the monthly fucking subscription. Doesn't make any sense to be paying, you know, for every flight. So I got on the plane, I logged in, and I'm on the internet. But it seemed that everybody else was trying to do it, not with a subscription, which is most people.
It wasn't working.
Trying to pay, it wasn't working. So I'm online, and I'd sent some work messages, and I was expecting some responses. You know, flight that's still got, you know, 4+ hours to go in the middle of the day. And, you know, some people complained they couldn't connect. So the pilot goes and resets the Wi-Fi. All of a sudden, I noticed that my damn connection gets disconnected. Mm-hmm. After they reset the Wi-Fi, it didn't work at all.
Right.
So I couldn't connect back.
Beautiful.
So I spent 4+ hours on the plane, and I'm like, now, I think I've said this before, in terms of, oh, well, I'm not getting bothered by shit. This is nice. That was good.
Mm-hmm. But
given the length of the flight, the moment I landed, it's like, I swear to God, it's like I landed into a fucking, you know, 4-alarm fire of shit that was wrong. And why the hell weren't you answering? We've been looking for you for hours. I'm like,
because you used to just be able to say, well, I was on a plane, because you weren't able to be contacted on the plane. But now everyone expects you to be online anyway.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. So I got here yesterday, and then I had to work for a while. And then there was, they did this thing last night. This little reception, and then I got dragged to dinner, and then I got dragged to a club, and then I must say it was, I'm saying dragged because it wasn't like that was my plan, and then I lost the people that I was with at you know that had taken me there, and I said, well, I'll go to the casino. Okay, so
okay.
I'm going to say I at one point was up at the blackjack table, well over $300 up.
Okay.
Okay. But I will say that I had pulled out a certain amount of money, and my point of pulling out a certain amount of money that was not to make money. It was like, okay, let's see how long we can make this last. Well, it took a long time, but I did get down that I lost all the money. Okay.
Okay.
But that took a very, very long time. And so then after that, I got to the room. And now, talking to you.
Ah, so you pulled an all-nighter.
I stayed, I believe, according to my records, I got to bed somewhere like at 4 in the morning, something like that.
Okay.
I did wake up a little bit ago. I had breakfast and stuff because I knew I was doing this. So I got up and did get some room service breakfast. Thank God that this hotel is a good Vegas, a good Vegas hotel, because there's a whole bunch of hotels here that don't even have even like a mini bar or stuff or whatever. So it does have, it's full service. So I was able to get breakfast brought up here.
It is the problem you didn't have enough sleep, or is the problem that you like partied hard?
It's all of the above.
Cause like, you know, here on the West Coast, it's 11 AM. I've been up for a couple hours, but I didn't go to sleep till almost 4 AM last night, just cause it's a normal Friday night in the winter house.
Yeah, but you know, with the drinking, partying, and
all I was doing was sitting on the couch watching stuff with Alex. You know,
exactly.
You know, I wasn't drinking. I wasn't like running around. I was just like chilling with my son, doing stuff. So
right. Well, oh God, yeah. Well, no, I wasn't doing that. Oh. So anyway,
you sound wonderful. Okay.
I sound great. And so it's for the second consecutive week that I sound fantastic on Curbudge's Corner.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm getting too old for this shit, Zola.
Okay, so you got any other butt first stuff, or should I jump right to Ghostbusters?
No, let's go to Ghostbusters.
And I will say as well, like, where, you know, this, I can guarantee you this time that this show is going to be on the short side for our normal stuff, because I have a hard stop after we're recording, because I've got a Zoom call scheduled with my dad, you know, at a certain time. So, like, you know,
and I'm not exactly being very peppy.
No, so, no, yeah, you know, but maybe we can get you like aggravated and angry, and then like that'll like cheer you up.
There you go. I am going to the spa this afternoon. That was like the thing that I chose as an activity. I chose to go to the spa. So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to have them, like, you know, try to see if they can rejuvenate me somehow. I don't think it's going to work. Or maybe it will. Who knows?
Who knows? Okay. So Ghostbusters 2. I talked about Ghostbusters last week. We watched a little bit later. We watched Ghostbusters 2. I guess how much later was it? Is it like, I'll tell you the speed.
What year did Ghostbusters 2 come out?
I'll get to that. So we watched Ghostbusters on March 24th. We watched Ghostbusters 2 on April 13th. So a few weeks later. But
that's not bad.
But no, Ghostbusters 1 was 1984 and Ghostbusters 2 was 1989. So 5 years later.
Okay.
5 years later.
Okay, 5 years.
And here's the thing, like, I remember, like, I have watched the original Ghostbusters more than I've watched Ghostbusters 2. Okay. Like I'd seen both of them before, but I've seen the original Ghostbusters more often than I'd seen Ghostbusters 2. Like
my recollection is that it wasn't as good as the first.
So here's the thing. That was my recollection too. My recollection going back to seeing it in the theaters in 1989, because I remember I saw Ghostbusters 2 in the theaters in 1989.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember being disappointed by it. And I remember being like, you know, they messed it up. They didn't like do it right. They like, you know, Ghostbusters was great. And like, they missed some of the things that made Ghostbusters good when they made Ghostbusters 2.
This was the one where they had this river of hate thing.
Yes.
Fluid going through the
They
city,
had
right?
the river of hate thing, and they had, you know, the, what is his name? The Carpathian.
Vigo.
Yes, that's right. And, but here.
Man, I'm pretty sure I haven't watched this movie since then, so I don't know how I remember all this.
Yeah. So anyway, but watching it again, my opinion was different. Like,
really?
Yeah. At various points during it, I was like, I'm not sure. Is this actually better than the first one? And like, I think in the end, I'm going to say they're roughly similar. They have different strengths and weaknesses. But like,
I think that maybe, I think you just said different strengths and weaknesses. Maybe why. It may have been disappointing at the moment, but now with time, I think we're kinder to it, because I think there was something about what you expected as a movie and what you got, and it was different. And I think that may be why, you know, people had a harder opinion of it at the time.
Yeah, and actually, like, there's some things from the original Ghostbusters that watching it many years later feel kind of cringe. Like,
oh, well. Jeez.
Like, you know, what's his name's character? Hold on, I'll tell you in a second. Rick Moranis, like, his character, like, I think, like, in Ghostbusters 1.
I am the gatekeeper.
Yeah, watching him later, it's sort of like, okay, I can see why that was funny, but it's a little bit cringy. And he was in the second one, too, but less prominently.
Right.
And I actually think less of him was good.
Okay.
You know, and no shade to the actor or whatever, but, you know, it's the character. And there were aspects of the new one that I just felt like were a little bit more fleshed out. And I don't know. It's just, it wasn't like a clear, oh my God, Ghostbusters 2 is actually better. No, no. But I think it's, I think it's, like you said, whatever disappointment happened when you were sort of expecting an exact rerun of the original Ghostbusters and to feel exactly the same way, you know, that disappears with this many years since then. It was just, oh, okay, this is another good Ghostbusters movie. You know, it was fine. It was good. I am going to actually give it a thumbs up along with the original Ghostbusters. It's like,
there you go.
You know, it was a fun little movie and it did its thing. I mean, parts of it were stupid, but like parts of the original that's the whole thing. Like, this is not intended as like some serious movie. It's intended as a stupid comedy, and it succeeds at that.
This is not a Shakespeare play. I mean,
no. And you know, and I enjoyed also, I had forgotten that the, I'm looking at the cast list. Who's the guy? The guy, Peter McNichol is in it. And I had seen him in more recent things and had completely forgotten he was in this thing. So I, you know, when it came on, he's sort of the guy who works at the museum and blah, blah, blah. His character was a little cringe too. He, like, you know, they had less of Rick Moranis, but Peter McNichol's character was pretty cringe.
Right. Because he was the guy that managed the restoration department, I think, of the artwork.
I think you're right. Good memory. If you haven't watched this since 89,
I haven't watched it. I'm sure in 30 years. So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you know, it was fine.
And that's where Sigourney Weaver was working, right? Because
That's right. You know, and so like, I liked it. And like I said, I was tempted a few times while watching it thinking, you know, this is just as good as the first one. Maybe in some ways it's even better, you know? And I know that's, you know, it probably really, like, I'm sure, I haven't done it. You like to do it. You like to go look at Rotten Tomatoes. I am sure this has a lower rating than the first one. Like,
what does it say? I don't know.
Yeah, but no, I don't have it. I don't have Rotten. Let's look it up.
Data. We need our data.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Data. Not the robot. Data.
Ghostbusters. Okay. Okay,
it's got a 55% Rotten Tomatoes.
Not that great at all. Compared to 95 for the original. And I don't know. Right. I think that's a little harsh. Like, I can see the argument that maybe it's not quite as good as the original, but like half as good? No. It's decent. I'm looking at this and just preview, I'm not talking about it next week or anytime soon, probably, but we did watch the reboot Ghostbusters in 2016 with the women, and it's up at 74. And there is no way I would put that one ahead of Ghostbusters 2. I mean, I don't think it's that. That's another one that got a really bad rap, and I don't think it deserves as bad a rap as it got, but I think Ghostbusters 2 is better. So I don't know. Like, I'm looking at these various ratings for the Ghostbusters, and I'm like, for the three that I've seen, the four that I've seen, and I'm like, I don't quite agree with these Rotten Tomato ratings on them. I wouldn't rank them in the same way, but you know, whatever. Different people have different opinions. That's the way the world works. But I enjoyed Ghostbusters 2. It was a fun little stupid romp, just like the first one was a fun little stupid romp. You could tell in a few places, like, you know, they were explicitly, I mean, the whole deal here was the first movie was successful. Let's try to do that again and make some money. That's what happens with sequels.
That's the whole
right?
thing about that's what the sequel is for. Hey, hey, listen, we're going to invest making this movie $100 million. We got to guarantee, you know, that we're going to make money. So how do we do that? Oh, great. We'll make a sequel. That's going to guarantee you, you know, the percentages on the sequels making money are higher than creating just a totally new movie.
So here we go. I'm reading the critical assessment section of Wikipedia. Since its release, Ghostbusters 2 has been labeled as the film that killed the franchise because it made less money from a larger budget than Ghostbusters. And because the filming experience and resulting reception dissuaded Murray from involvement in a third film. While some modern critics continue to criticize it as a bad film or inferior to its predecessor, others argue that it suffers from being compared with Ghostbusters and is otherwise above average. In a 2014 interview, Reitman defended the film, saying while it was unfairly compared to Batman at the time, he felt Ghostbusters 2 still holds up well against a superhero film. Digital Spy defended the film as being as good as or better than Ghostbusters. It said the plot of Ghostbusters 2 is arguably better executed than that of the first film, with multiple threads coming together in a seamless third act with a positive ending that works better with modern audiences. Den of Geek compared it to sequels of other genre-specific classics like Back to the Future Part 2 and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which were considered not as good as the original, but as good films in their own right. While Ghostbusters 2 is perceived as being a bad film, despite a close similarity to the original. Let's see, Deadspin said that, like those aforementioned films, Ghostbusters 2 darker set pieces and comedy made it more suited for adults than children, but that it is better than most people remember. UpRocks called it the ideal film to watch during the New Year's period because it offers an unsubtle, simple morality tale. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes 55%, we said that. Thanks to the cast, Ghostbusters 2 is reasonably amusing, but it lacks the charm, wit, and energy of its predecessor. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, meanwhile, Den of Geek listed it as the 18th best blockbuster sequel of all time. Okay.
18th.
18th best blockbuster sequel. So you're...
I don't know. I find that, you know, giving it the, you know, I'm going to say, hey, I'm the 18th best something isn't exactly
well, like... and not only so, it's a significantly narrowed down something. So this isn't 18th right. best movie. This isn't 18th the best 18th blockbuster best
sequel.
This is 18th sequel. Best blockbuster sequel.
Buster sequel.
Yeah. So anyway, it was fine. And apparently, the critical reassessment or whatever is sort of like what I was saying. Like, I remember being really disappointed when I first saw it, but
me too.
But on the rewatch, I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. I actually kind of like it. So there you go.
Okay.
That's my thing about Ghostbusters.
Oh, I was going to say Blockbuster.
Oh, Ghostbusters no, 2. Blockbuster. Sorry. Yeah, we did Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Okay. So now.
Now
we will take a break and then we will do our newsy segments after this. But I will say, Yvonne, I have a surprise for you.
You have a surprise. Oh, wow. I'm as you can see, I am just oh so ready to jump for joy at a surprise.
This is a brand new break.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay, you got me.
You're ready. It's only about a minute long, I think. Maybe not even.
I'm tingling.
You're tingling. Okay.
I'm tingling.
Enjoy this. Here it comes. Okie dokie. Here it comes.
It is just my internet being stupid.
My internet being stupid is a new song we will make.
I'm tired. What's wrong? I'm really tired.
You it's amazing.
Show on the road.
There's a road? There's a road? Oh my god, there's a road.
There you go. That's it.
Okay, that break was hilarious. I did not expect that.
Yeah, it was, you know. I could have done more with it, but I just like I took a few pieces of something we did in our cold open a few weeks ago and just shoved it together. So
that sounds pretty good. That's very impressive.
Okay. Well, good. You know, you know, if I had actual like skills of some sort, I could make an actual like song, but unfortunately I do not have those skills. So it was just, you know, put some stuff together, well, make the sounds repeat a few times, you know, put some effects on it. You know, I did auto tune your song.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it didn't really help my singing, but, you know, oh, well. I mean, my singing is bad. The auto-tune is not going to fix it. So, no, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Yvonne, why don't we start? What newsy stuff would you like to talk about for this segment? Or are you like dad and just want me to pick everything?
I'm actually looking at the list.
Okay.
What newsy thing? Well, you did add today. This thing about the chinks glitch.
Oh yes, I thank you for picking this. I have been so amused by this. This is so much fun.
It's a glitch.
I spent a decent amount of time last night and this morning watching like some of these TikToks. So for those of you who don't know, you all know, right? There was a trend. There was a TikTok trend.
Well, let me see. Hold on, because I haven't watched the TikToks.
Okay.
Let me see if I understood what these idiots were saying.
Okay, go for
from
it.
From what I have read, okay? I'm going to give my staff, the uneducated staff, which is what I saw is that these guys said, hey, make a check to yourself. Basically, take a picture of it, deposit it, and an amount of the funds will be available immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go and withdraw that money and voila, you've got money.
Yes.
It's just this glitch. These morons not understanding that eventually Chase will catch up with it and they will deduct the deposit because the check had insufficient funds.
Right.
And then just, you know, you will owe all the money.
And
I mean, I don't understand how these people are this stupid. I guess maybe it's just because we don't use checks as much anymore, so people don't understand.
Yeah, I saw people arguing that was part of it, but like, I think it goes deeper than that. Like, because obviously these are people that had checks to, so like, yeah, because there are lots of people who like have never even been exposed to checks, right? But like, in order to do this, you had to.
I think that if you open a checking account at Chase, you automatically get.
You probably do. You probably do. But anyway, look. So a couple additional elements here. So one, this is relying on the fact that most banks at this point, if your account is in good standing and blah, 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 and you deposit a check, they will give you access to some amount of that money right away and then wait for the rest to clear, right? Because it's still...
Well, let's be clear. They'll give you full access to the money
up to a
deposit limit.
Yes.
That you have, a daily deposit limit. And so say your deposit limit daily is $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if you deposit under $2,000,
you get it all
access to the funds immediately.
Yeah. So what happened here? So for like, you know, it is that first that was going on, but also Chase did apparently have, there was a real glitch, which was that limit was not being applied. Okay. So people were doing this with checks.
So they were able to deposit amounts in excess. Well, actually, I will tell you what was happening.
Yes.
What was happening is that for checks that are from Chase.
Yes, that is exactly what was happening.
If it's a Chase itself transaction, they usually will waive the limit because it's like an interbank. It's inside their bank.
Yes.
And so the limit will be waived.
Now, you'd think in that scenario, though, they would check the balance because they're Chase and it's internal and they have the ability to instantly tell if you have the money for the check. But apparently they didn't. So people were writing $50,000 and $100,000 checks to themselves with this scam.
Okay.
And they were withdrawing the cash immediately to try to get it out. And like they were the whole thing was being presented on TikTok as like, hey, there's this glitch. Just go in. You can get your free money. Isn't this awesome? Blah, 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 blah. And there are all kinds of videos of people videoing themselves doing this, getting like tons and tons of cash and filming themselves like dancing with the cash and stuff. Okay. And so here it is almost impossible to overstate how stupid these people are. Okay. But
yes.
Like,
yes.
First of all, apparently, and in watching a lot of these videos, there are a bunch of videos out on TikTok. There's the original videos of the people themselves, like documenting themselves doing this and encouraging other people to do it as well. But then there's tons and tons of people like dissecting how stupid they are, offering their services as lawyers, you know, all kinds of other stuff. Because the funny part is, first you've got this wave of videos of these people saying, oh, there's this glitch, go do it, and filming themselves doing it, filming themselves happy with money. And then like a day later...
The wave of regret. It's like being in Vegas, basically.
Then there's a wave of videos where people are...
Oh, look how awesome the party is!
Yeah. Well, but the next wave of... Wait, there's multiple waves of videos here, because the immediate next wave after the joyous withdrawal of the money is people showing their apps suddenly having huge negative balances. and they're like, what the fuck? Chase is taking my money. And like,
what are you, Chase is taking my money. No, they're not taking your money. They're taking their money back, you assholes.
And then you've got some of them documenting themselves calling Chase customer service to ask where their money went and why Chase was stealing their money.
Oh, these geniuses.
Okay. And then.
And then Chase explained to them, listen, you fucking.
Yes. Well, by the way, Chase. The Chase TikTok account has been reposting these videos from all these people.
Oh, smart.
Okay, but then the third wave is people starting to realize that they have committed federal felonies.
Well, it's basically, if I remember correctly, this is check kiting.
Yeah, this is flat out check fraud,
which is a felony
of a kind that has existed for a long time. And
well, it's really straight up check kite.
Yes, check kiting is the name we used for it decades ago. It's a sub form of check fraud. It's a sub form of bank fraud.
Yeah. But for all of you not familiar with check kiting in the past, okay, one of the things that happened was a lot was that say you deposited a check from a bank in
Yvonne is glitched. Are you still there, Yvonne?
I am here. For some reason, I'm getting called by an idiot. Okay.
Okay. Imagine you had like banks on opposite sides of the country back in the day when things were slow.
Back in the day. So back then, for a check to clear from a bank across the other side of the country, it took sometimes up to a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Okay. That was the longest time. Before all these transactions went,
because the physical check had to move around, it had to be sent from place to place. It went from your local bank to a regional center for the bank to a clearinghouse to the other bank. Yep. You know, the actual piece of paper had to like make the cross country journey, and things had to go back and forth. Like back in the day, the stuff was slow, and so it gave you a period of time where potentially if the bank was trusting you for that check, like we were talking about, about the, you know, they would front you some amount as soon as you deposited it.
Well, I will tell you that if you were really good with the bank, they would give you the full amount available immediately.
It all depends on like how much the bank trusted you, right? Yeah.
And you had companies that got caught doing this where what they were doing is like the big fraud part was you had accounts in two different banks. You would be depositing checks from your other account to that account. You knew it would take 2 weeks. And so you would do is that you would basically be borrowing that money for that time period. Okay. up until, you know, and many times what happened was usually the people would deposit the money by the time that it was needed at the other bank. So that was the check kiting. E.F. Hutton, which was purchased by Merrill Lynch, which is now part of Bank of America, is one of the biggest retail brokers.
John Houseman in the U.S.
Ah, yes. But E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
They had that. Yeah. And so they got caught in this fraud where they were doing that repeatedly. And I mean, it was to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And they got heavily fined. They were doing that. There were businesses that did that. My father got caught doing this. Okay. Yeah. Between a couple of banks. Okay. You know, to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. Now, the thing is, unlike these guys that wound up a negative balance, for the most part, when they were doing it, you would be depositing the money by the time it was required at the other account.
Right.
So when you were creating this, loan.
Yeah, you were creating a temporary loan to yourself that you were able to patch back before. Like, it's still fraud, just to be clear. But
it's fraud. But that was but these guys were putting the money in the bank in time. So now these morons, not understanding that they were creating a check kite, but they were never going to deposit the money. They just thought that, oh,
free money.
We made money. But made money magically out of thin air.
And look, there are videos of lines at Chase Banks, 20 people deep, waiting to do this at the ATM. You know?
God.
And so, yeah, so now there are these videos of people going, oh, crap. Chase has started to, like, there have now been people arrested. Still a relatively small number, but they're sort of working their way through the list of everybody who did this. I presume they've, because here's the thing. Look, another thing to remember. Apparently, these people thought this was all just, oh, free money glitch. Everything's okay. I'm just going to get the free money. No one's going to care. But A, yes, federal crime. B, you're stealing from the bank. Other federal crime. But then you are using your own bank account.
You're right, you idiot.
You are using a check that you wrote. They have all your information.
They have you, that's the rights.
There is no, like, yeah, you know, I've seen a few
hiding from this.
I've seen a few people trying to claim that in some way or another
it wasn't them.
Or, you know, this guy just came up to me and gave me a check and told me to deposit it. And so I deposited it for him and then gave him the money. You know, whatever. No. No, I'm sorry. No. Like, maybe there were a few people out there that were smart and were like, hey, I want to do this, but I don't want to do it myself. And so I'll get some random patsy to do it for me. But most of these people absolutely were just doing it themselves, thinking it was fine. But all the information is right there. And like a whole bunch of you posted the damn thing on TikTok too.
Of course they did.
Without
posting on TikTok, what would be the fun if you didn't do it?
They posted the fact that they were going to do it. Then they posted themselves doing it. Then they posted videos of themselves spending the money. Hey, I'm going to go buy this big screen TV now. You know, dudes. And like, then there are all these videos of people being like, I'm scared. What's going to happen to me? And then there's like lawyers coming on and replying to them saying, what's going to happen to you? You are going to jail.
There you go.
You are going, you know, the money is gone and you are going to jail. Get yourself a lawyer right now to see if they can negotiate down how much time you're going to spend in jail, but you are going to jail. And oh, by the way, once you get out of jail, you're never going to have a bank account again. And you are never probably going to be hired again by any reputable employer. And nobody's going to rent to you and, you know, go down the list, you know, it's like, And yeah. So you see, you can these video progressions of like the person sort of gleefully doing this thing and then realizing what they've done and being like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, on the one hand, I feel so
much money were these people. But I mean, how much money did you see these people do?
I have seen everything from there are a few people who only did like $1,000 or $2,000, but there are people mm-hmm. who did up to 100,000.
Oh my God. Well, those are people that are going to go to jail.
Yeah.
$1,000, you could, you know, it's, you know, you can figure out, oh, you pay it back.
I saw one video of a guy who'd done this and now has the negative balance and was like, Chase wants their. I got scammed. I don't know what I'm doing, but Chase wants $50,000 and they set up a GoFundMe.
Set up a wait, asshole. You had the 50,000. Okay.
I'm sure
you
know, they spent like, it already.
It's all like, exactly. It's not like you know, the 50,000 was for a medical bill or something or whatever. No. You went and you took out $50,000 from the bank and you spent it on bullshit. And now you want people to do a GoFundMe to help you because you fucking like decided to party on stolen $50,000. It's not what GoFundMe is supposed to be. Four.
Anyway, I have such mixed feelings. On the one hand, I somewhat feel for the ones of these
people. Can I go and like,
yeah.
Can I do a negative deposit in a GoFundMe? Can I just take money from his GoFundMe? Because that would be the best thing to do to this guy. Just, you know, hey, you know, no, you know, now you owe money on GoFundMe, dick.
So, look, for the folks here who really and truly seem like they were clueless and thought this was fine, I feel a little bit sorry for them. But at the same time, I'm like, how can you possibly be that stupid? I'm sorry.
Wow.
And then there's like people trying to talk seriously about this and about like, oh, this points to how we need better financial education in schools and blah, blah, blah. Because obviously the education system has failed these people. Yeah. You know, and most of these people, by the way, are people who clearly we're lower on the income scale and like this was like life-changing amounts of money. And so they were like a free way to get like thousands of dollars. I'm in without thinking any further about it. And it's like,
right.
Oh man, really? I mean,
no, man.
Anyway, like I, you know, I don't know. Like if I was Chase, you have to go after some of these people, but I would concentrate on the ones that really did lots and lots of money and on the lower end, like the people who did this with a few hundred or even a couple $1,000, I'd be like, look, you have to pay the money back. And by the way, some fees and fines and things like that, but we'll set you up a payment plan for it. We're not going to try to put you in jail because you were just a dumbass. Okay.
Right.
You weren't trying to commit fraud here, or I guess you were trying to commit fraud, but you didn't know what you were doing. You were obviously an idiot. So let's set you up a payment plan. We don't have to put you in jail for 20 years, but the guy who pulled $100,000, you're going to jail. Sorry.
I need to do a meeting where I go with somebody that is obviously an idiot and tell them flat out, you know, hey, well, I don't think I've done this. Which is that, listen, you're obviously an idiot. So we're gonna try to help you. Okay. I have not used that line in a meeting, but I gotta figure out a meeting where I can use this. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, and Chase has not yet, you know, said publicly how big this thing was. Like, but I've seen.
I'm sure it's. I mean, Chase. Well, the reality is, in the size of what. How
no,
Chase
no.
Com- is,
compared to the size of Chase, it's going to be tiny because Chase is huge, yeah, right? But
trillion
like,
dollars in assets.
I've heard people estimating. Like, and again, Chase is not saying publicly how many people have done this, how many people they're going after, or how much money was involved. But I've seen people estimating based on just how much has been posted publicly of people admitting to doing this, that we're probably talking on the order of $90 to $100 million worth of this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm cheap. Wow.
Because there were lots of people did it. Lots of people saw the TikTok thread and were like excited about the free money and went to do it.
Jesus. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, like you said, for Chase, $100 million isn't that much. But still.
It's still a lot of money.
Yeah. But I will tell you, I...
Did you do it?
Yes, I did it. That guy who got 100 grand cheap, I got like 500, you know.
Ah, there you go.
And this,
what are you leaving the country?
God. Yeah, no, I've already left.
That had to be your plan, Bozo. I mean, you know, look, hey, let me get like, you know, 100 grand, and let me just, this is my final act before I flee the country.
Yeah. And the excuses from these people on these videos is it's just dumbfounding. And these people who still like, there was one video I watched of this woman who's like, okay, look, I am going to talk to a lawyer. I'm going up right now. I have an appointment. I'm going to go talk to a lawyer. And because all you people on the internet who are replying to me, telling me that, you know, this was a crime and I did something wrong, well, you guys aren't lawyers. You don't know the law. So I'm going to go talk to a real lawyer about it.
And
she didn't post another video after that.
You don't have to be a fucking lawyer to realize that something is a crime.
Yeah, several people replied to that. And one of them was like, you know, actually, I am a lawyer. I'm specifically a lawyer who specializes in financial fraud. And yeah, you better go talk to that lawyer. And I'm sure the lawyers, for the reason there are no more videos, at least there weren't as of last night when I checked, the first damn thing the lawyer is going to say is shut the fuck up. You know, and the lawyer is going to say, look, you are going to jail. I'll see if I can bring it down as low as I can. But sorry, you're going to jail. They got you completely. You know, we now just need to minimize the damage. Or like we said, you know, hope, like Chase's, from a pure PR perspective, Chase would be well served by going light on the small time players who were clearly in.
Right.
So maybe they'll get lucky, but like other people are like, no, Chase is going to throw the book at them. Yeah. Chase has no reason.
I'm sure that the people who are like, look, if you pay back the money, because it happens that people get overdrafted. You have to pay.
There were
back money.
There were a few people who posted that said they did this. And they got a notice from Chase saying they have to fix the negative balance. They've got 30 days to fix the negative balance before Chase goes after them.
Exactly. So, yeah, if you do it quickly enough, it's like, you know, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, they'll add some fines, just to be clear.
Right.
But you're going to pay back what you stole plus some. But, you know,
right,
maybe you can avoid going to jail if you fix it quick. But like, and you know, if, you know, I was going to say, if any of them were smart, none of them are smart or they wouldn't have done this. But like, if you took the money, but didn't spend it, go deposit it right back right now.
right now.
But like, if you got the money and just like spent it all already, you're fucked. Sorry.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway. You got another one, or should we take a break and go on and
take a break and you got a pick. I did the picking.
You did the picking. It was a very exciting picking.
Exiting,
yes, as you always say. Okay, I will take a break, and of course since we didn't do it in the first segment, I'm going to do election politics and everything around Trump and Harris and blah, 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 blah. There's other stuff going on in the world, but, you know, hey, that's what it's going to be. We'll be back after this.
What?
No, that was bad.
Oh,
no, that was bad. No, I don't like that either.
Once upon a rainbow, you were on the floor, eating the bugs that you found upon my face.
No, that's
what?
Bye. Okay, here we are. So we got a bunch of stuff going on. Let me go through the list just sort of in the order that it came up during the week. I did have some notes about talking about how the media is handling election 2024, but we'll do that some other time. We got RFK Jr. and his ballot removal efforts. Now that he has endorsed Trump and he's trying to get off the ballot, here's the thing. It's interfering with things in a variety of ways because his decision came really late. So just as an example, and his success has been different. Like in some states, they've immediately said, okay, fine, you're off the ballot. In other states, they've said, no, too late. You can't pull yourself off the ballot. And in others, it is actively going back and forth in court right now. So it's unclear what the result is. But he also specifically decided, by the way, when he quote unquote dropped out, he actually said, I'm not dropping out. I'm just endorsing Trump, and I'm going to take myself off the ballot in the states where my presence might hurt Trump. Okay. So he's leaving himself on the ballot in states where he feels like it wouldn't make a difference or he would hurt Harris. Which I don't think there's any place left where his presence hurts Harris, because as we talked about a couple weeks ago, once she took over from Biden, basically all of the people who were for him as a placeholder because they didn't like Biden, but were basically more left than right, more Democrat than Trumpy, all left and went to Harris. So he was basically hurting Trump everywhere, but he was only really trying to get his name off the ballot in swing states where it might make a difference. One example that's still, I don't think the court fights are over yet, but I was going to have as one of the things I mentioned on the show that Friday, September 6th, the one that just passed, was supposed to be the first day that ballots for November actually were mailed out. The start of early voting in the first state, which would have been North Carolina, the ballots were going to be mailed out, as we're recording this, yesterday.
Wow.
All the ballots were printed and ready to go. They were going to be mailed yesterday. And they had RFK's name on it. So when RFK originally said, I want my name off, North Carolina said, sorry,
no,
too late. Your name is already on the ballots. They're already being printed. They are going out this week. RFK went to court and got a judge to say, nope, you got to take him off the ballot, and halted the mailing of those ballots. And I'm sure this is going to go through a couple more layers of court before it's final, but those ballots did not get mailed yesterday. And as of the current court order, all of these ballots have to be remade and reprinted without Kennedy on them, which these ballots are printed at the local, like, county level, because there's all kinds of local races too, right? So your ballot is not just like one ballot for North Carolina. Every local jurisdiction has a different ballot because you've got you know, mayors and state reps and like the local whatever, blah, 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 all of these races on them. And
boards, other stuff. Yeah.
And apparently the way you have to do it, there's also like, you can't just sort of erase his name and leave a gap for whatever reasons they have. You have to actually reflow the ballot and redesign the ballot. So like, if you take out that space and that makes things move in terms of like what column they're in and where they are, then you have to redo that. And then you have to validate that all of the auto ballot counting stuff that you set up is still working on the new ballot. Like, it should, right? The software is good for this stuff, but there are required steps where you have to validate that all of that is working before you send out the ballots in the first place. Because you want to catch an issue. Like if you've done something stupid on the ballot and the software can't read it, you want to catch it before you send out the ballots, right? Or before you even print like them in large quantities. And so you've got all of these local jurisdictions that have to do the new ballots are complaining because they did not budget for that. And this is going to cost across the state of North Carolina millions and millions of dollars to redo the ballots at this stage that was not budgeted for. So they're scrambling for money. They're scrambling to figure out how to do it. And you can see why they might not want to do this, because it was just too like literally pallets of ballots were ready to go into the mail. Like, and so... So they're fighting over that, but like, you know, I was gonna say, you know, the election has started, ballots are out, people are starting to vote already, but no, because it's been delayed by RFK Jr. There are a few other states that weren't quite as dramatic as North Carolina, but similar battles are going on because deadlines were missed, but RFK is trying to get judges to say do it anyway. He's saying I can't be forced to be on the ballot against my will, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, that's the RFK thing. Any thoughts?
No, well, I mean, I think that at this point, if it's too late, it's too late. It is what it is. I mean, there's not much else that he could do. I mean, he decided to do this, to withdraw from the ballot way, way, way too late down the road. So,
well, but apparently he's getting like some sympathetic judges in some states are saying, yeah, I know you're past the deadline, but you know, it's going to have to be changed anyway. And the states are having to scramble to do it and or pay for appeals. And so regardless, there's some delay here. Like there's some early voting that could have been happening as early as now that is not going to happen quite yet. Of course, this is still, I mean, my God, it's September. It's the beginning of September, you know?
Right.
I mean, I'm fine with like having a voting period that is not a single day. Like the idea of early voting, I have no problem with it. But 2 months is still pretty long. Like, okay,
yeah.
But there's more states coming online. Like within the next week, 2 weeks, there are going to be a bunch of states that are already sending out their earliest early vote stuff. You know, even in North Carolina, like this was specifically the people who had registered for vote by mail, which in North Carolina, even at the height of the pandemic, was only like 10% or something like that. And now is more like 5% right, of the vote. You know, so and regular in-person early vote is later in the process. So, you know, we're talking small numbers that early vote in September. Once we get to October, it starts getting huge. But like, but yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something. You were like making a noise.
I know. No. Oh, I'm sorry. My body is grunting.
Okay. Next up, that's election tangential anyway. I haven't followed this in detail, but I thought I'd be remiss in not mentioning the DOJ did an indictment based on another Russian influence operation where apparently through a number of intermediary organizations, basically the Russians were paying a whole bunch of conservative influencers, specifically MAGA type influencers, all kinds of money to increase their alignment with what the Russians wanted to project and to get their message out there. Some of this was through RT, some of it was elsewhere. You got a whole bunch of these people, like Tim Pool, I think is the biggest name that would be recognized. There are a bunch of folks that, unless you are embedded in, you know, the right wing sort of online culture, we probably don't know. They're not like the big ones who are on TV and stuff for the most part. But like a bunch of them are like, we're the victims here. We had no idea. We had no idea that this money was coming from Russia, and we you know, whatever. And you know, in some cases, maybe they are stupid enough. Maybe it's like the Chase Glitch people. They're just really idiots. In other cases, it's like, okay, come on. You knew.
No, it's so stupid.
And also, I mean, they're like, oh, I am such a victim. I was getting $100,000 a month and I just didn't look into where it was coming from. I'm such a victim.
You know? I mean, Sam, I mean, did you check our Patreon?
We weren't getting paid. I guess the Russians didn't find us.
Where's our $100,000 a month from the Russians? I mean, come on.
Right.
You know. But now, they for the most, like, correct. Like I said, I haven't been following this to the degree I should have. Are they indicting these actual influencers or just the intermediaries who were paying them?
I don't know. I know I saw the mentions and I saw them, you know, the sort of people like involved, but I must admit that I did not delve into the details of.
Yeah, I honestly didn't care enough to look into the details.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But
I was just like, I read it and I kind of like, gee, what a fucking surprise. Not.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
Well, and the other thing that the DOJ has said is like they've done this indictment on this Russian influence operation, but they've said, like, look, they are not alone. The Chinese are doing this. The Iranians are doing it. There were a number of other countries doing it. Yeah, practically. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if every country is doing it, you know, even like little bitty countries that don't have that much money to spend. They're going to do a little bit, like try to influence the Americans to like us more. I don't know. And of course, I'm sure we're doing it all over the world as well.
Yep.
And like this.
Now, I think that the way that we do these are different to a certain extent, but are we, you know, going and like obviously trying to spread a message that is, you know, favorable to our interests? Absolutely. But in my, you know, from what I've seen, it's more stuff like the straight up like stuff like, well, Voice of America, all this other stuff that we put these stories out there and so forth, and we spread it through.
We do the public stuff, but I guarantee you we're doing the covert stuff as well.
I don't think the thing is that whatever we are doing covert is not in the same brazen method in terms of, hey, let me find that Twitter guy over there. Let me just give him $100,000 a month kind of thing.
Or probably something more subtle.
Maybe, but I wouldn't be surprised if we take people who are influencers across the world who we think are promoting messages that we like. And to be clear, this is slightly different from telling them what to say, but instead it is finding people who are already saying things that we like. And I think that's what the Russians were doing as well. And supporting them, making it easier for them to get out their message. And I mean, financially,
Patreon,
as well, you know,
Patreon them.
Yeah. Dump some money into their Patreon, you know, give them, you know, say that, hey, we like what you're doing. And in order to help do more of it, we're going to give you X amount per month. I'm sure we're.
No. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, and some of it publicly and some of it, you know, secretly, you know, I'm sure. So this is happening all over the place, but apparently, you know, just in terms of US stuff, like, I mean, I guess this is part of the goal too, of like, make it so nobody trusts anything. But really, right. I mean, there's no way to have, in a good way, know, hey, is what you are seeing really, truly authentic, or is it some part of some organized influence campaign, either domestic or foreign? You know, it's like, I don't know, unless it's like a particular individual that for some reason you know a lot about and trust. I don't know. And even then, like, who the hell knows what's going on in their private finances?
Who knows?
So we know nothing. So, you know, so part of that is like, you know, a lot of this puts stuff out there or helps get it boosted. But this is where it comes to, you know, when you're looking at stuff, you have to also be evaluating, have some sort of method for cross-checking. And like, I admit sometimes I'm better at this and sometimes I'm worse. And it depends on how much I trust the source. And if my trust is misplaced, I can get fooled. And, you know, a few times I've posted stuff that later I'm like, oh crap, that was like bullshit, you know? And then, but
Alpha Bank,
we did not fall for Alpha Bank. Okay. On no. this show, we consistently said that Alpha Bank is bullshit.
It sounds,
you know, and this is the, again, coming back to the Chase glitch, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Right.
You know, and, you know, even like, I'll go back to the Steele dossier on Donald Trump. I think like there's a lot of it that was true. There's a lot of it that was not true. There's even more that's never been verified. But I think what we do know convincingly at this point is that it was essentially stuff that the Russians were intentionally trying to get out there to confuse the issue, you know? And so, yeah, like disinformation campaigns work now.
Yeah.
Especially if you go for the stuff that just seems plausible. Like it matches the narrative. It matches what you think might be true. And so, and the Steele dossier was explicitly framed as, these are just the rumors we're hearing on the street. Like we haven't been able to verify one way or another.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, it falls in, there were some true things, there were some false things, and the vast majority, are things that just can't be proven one way or the other. It's just, you know, no, they haven't been verified. They haven't been proven false either. They just can't.
That's going to be the October surprise.
That
PP tape finally.
You know, if the P tape comes out next month, that would, or, you know, indictments about Alpha Bank, you know.
Ah, there you go.
Alpha Bank has proved to be true. And, you know, no, I don't know.
Oh my God.
There probably is a P tape, right? You know, the P tape is one of those things where he's so germophobic, like it almost seems like that doesn't quite match.
But he's crazy.
He is crazy. He is crazy. Anyway, enough of
you got RFK Jr. like sawing heads off whales.
He sawed a head off whale. He did the thing with the bear. I saw a video this morning. I don't know if it was new or just resurfaced, but like it had him like in like some room somewhere, and he pans his like phone camera to the side, and there's like this grasshopper sitting on like a couch, and he's like, look, this thing, this is cool. It's a so-and-so grasshopper. I forget he identified like the species of grasshopper or whatever.
Right.
And then he just reaches out and grabs it, and he holds it up to the camera like, in his fist, he's holding the grasshopper, and it looks like he like did it in such a way that the grasshopper was fine. The grasshopper was not in distress, but he was holding the grasshopper, blah, 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 up to the camera and talking about the grasshopper. And then some guy cuts into the video, cause this was somebody reposting it, as like, dude, you know, as soon as the camera is off, he's going to eat that thing.
Oh God. You.
Because he just now has that reputation, right? You know, he's going to eat the dog.
Yeah.
He ended up leaving the bear in Central Park, but apparently his original plan was to take it home and eat it. I don't know if he was going to eat the whale head or not, but
friends with Christy Noem.
Yeah, probably is. Anyway, enough about the Russian influence op. It's going on. There were indictments. A lot of conservative hanger-oners of the constant grift types were implicated in it. And there's a lot more going on that there haven't been indictments on. And it's just out there. And be as careful as you can, but, you know, whatever. Okay, next. The Trump DC case is finally moving again. You know, so a schedule was set. There will be no mini trial scheduled at this point.
Okay.
But there's a deadline in late September for the special counsel to submit briefings. This is all on like what is or is not changed on the immunity because of the SCOTUS immunity decision. Obviously, the special counsel already did the superseding indictment that we talked about last week, but now they have to make their arguments about like what is affected, what is not affected, and why, blah, blah, blah. All of that is in. There is expected to be evidence included in these arguments. So not just here's the legal argument, but also here's how it applies to specific evidence that we intend to use in the case. And then a week or so after the special counsel's deadline on that is the deadline. Maybe it's 2 weeks. I forget, something like that. Early October, there is a deadline for the defense to submit their thoughts on this whole issue, including rebuttals to anything the special counsel said. And then there will be an actual hearing on the issue, like, I don't know, a week before the election or 2 weeks before the, like, it's very like end of October. And so that's
perfect timing.
So that's moving again. And there's going to be, you know, there were a lot of people pushing for like a whole little mini trial, calling witnesses and stuff before the election. The judge was not like, this is not the direction she's going. She's all of these are going to be done in legal briefings. And then there's going to be, you know, perhaps a hearing in front of her, but not like all the witnesses and stuff. That's all going to be in documents. She will decide at that point if she feels she needs that kind of thing before the real trial. But not only before the real trial, before she decides. Because the thing that's going to happen on this, by the way, just in case it's not clear to everybody, is she has to decide what's in and what's out and how she's going to treat all of this stuff. But then no matter what she decides, well, especially if she decides against Donald Trump, but pretty much no matter what she does, it's going to get appealed again. And it's going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court again before it actually comes back down. So she also said she's not even going to bother trying to set an actual trial date because she's sure that whatever she does here, it's going to get appealed. And so there's going to be another long delay while this goes up to Supreme Court and back. So basically the schedule of this is, you know, we're going to have that hearing in late October. She's probably not going to make a decision until after the election, sometime in November. And then whatever she does, it's going to get appealed again. And then we're probably waiting another 6 to 9 months before this thing could come back to her again to continue. So this, and that's assuming that Donald Trump doesn't win and make the whole thing go away, you know? Wow. So at the moment it's moving and there are a whole bunch of steps and documents and things like that that we're going to see over the next 2 months. But it is what it is. It's moving. Things are happening. There's news related to it. There's going to be more news related about it before the election. But we're not going to get to, like, even assuming Harris wins, we're not going to get to an actual trial of Donald Trump on the January 6th stuff till probably late next year. Like, not even early next year, probably late next year. Like, so we've talked before about how frustrating, like, all four of these cases, but also just apparently our legal system in general is so fucking slow. And Donald Trump is a master of making it go even slower. So
that he's definitely shown himself adept at. Absolutely.
Okay. Since we're talking his legal cases, the other one was the sentencing in the New York trial was also delayed till after the election. It was supposed to be like the 18th of September And the steps were, once again, in this one, Donald Trump is also saying, hey, we need to figure out how the immunity decision changes this. And there was going to be, you know, they're submitting their briefs on that. I believe that's already done. The judge was going to give his answer to how the immunity stuff affected this case. Because in this case, Donald Trump is saying that while the crime itself wasn't necessarily covered by immunity, they used evidence that was covered by immunity. So the whole thing needs to be thrown out.
Right. So and I know that they're going through it and trying to, I mean, they did go through all of that and try to figure out what to leave. What?
Well, no, that's the January 6th case. We're talking New York now. In the
I forgot that.
You forgot I switched.
But it's just so many of them moved all of a sudden this week.
Yeah,
all at once.
And so the New York one, he was going to make the decision on whether or not the fact that there was some evidence included that could now be argued to be immune. Yeah, there are two questions there. Was that evidence actually immune? And if it was it substantial enough that it affected the verdict and you have to throw out the proceedings so far? And so he was going to make that decision on the 16th and then have sentencing on the 18th, assuming he didn't dismiss the case. But now he's delayed both of those steps. I expected, frankly, that the sentencing would not happen. I'd said on the show before that what I expected to happen was that the judge would rule against Donald Trump and say, no, whatever issues with the evidence were not substantial enough to affect the verdict, so we're going to proceed with sentencing. And I expected that at that point, Trump would appeal, and then everything else would be delayed, and the sentencing would be put out. And apparently the judge has some ability to say whether they can do that intermediary appeal or whether they would have to wait. But the judge just punted the whole damn thing. He's not even – so like I did not expect the actual sentencing to happen before the election. I expected that to be delayed. I did expect that the judge would actually make the decision on whether or not this evidence tainted the case enough to dismiss it before the election. But no, he pushed that out into November too. So he's basically like, I'm not deciding anything on this case until we get to November, which is in sharp contrast. And he said explicitly, like, this is because of the election. I don't want any appearance whatsoever that I am making decisions in a way that my purpose is to influence the election. So we're just going to wait until after the election happens. Whereas Judge Chunkin on the January 6th case said exactly the opposite. She's like, I don't care about the election. The election is not my concern. My concern is these charges. And so I'm going to set a schedule accordingly. Like the Trump's lawyer kept saying, we need to delay all this stuff till after the election. And she's like, no, not doing that. And people have said the cases are a little bit different based on the phase they are. Like one is pre-trial, one is post-trial, etc. But fundamentally, I feel like the same arguments could apply, and they've taken diametrically opposed positions. Chunkin was like, I am responsible. Like, the political thing would be if I let the election and the fact that Donald Trump is a candidate in an election affect me, that would be being influenced by the politics of the scenario. I have to treat him just like any other defendant. And like for any other defendant, I don't care what's going on in their job. I don't care what's going on in their personal life. That's not part of my problem. I'm setting the schedule for all of this stuff just as, hey, you're a person, you're on trial, you've got these crimes, and this is the amount of time we need in order to resolve the issues we need to resolve. Whereas the New York judge was like, I really don't want to appear like I am trying to put my thumb on the election. And so I'm not doing anything more until after the election. So, and part of the New York judge's argument as well, and I don't know if this was a mistake on the part of the prosecutors in New York or actually intentional on their part, when Trump asked for this to be delayed, And the New York prosecutors had to put in a brief with their opinion as well. And rather than argue not to delay, they just said, we leave it up to the hands of the judge. And I heard some people at the time praise that as like, look, this is the right thing to do. They don't want to appear like political. They don't want to put their thumb on the scale either. But the judge basically said, look, from what the prosecutors said and the way they said it, I think they actually agree and want the delay too. So we're delaying. So, and I heard someone speculate that another factor in all this may also be safety, because a whole bunch of the people involved, I mean, the judge and the prosecution have had steady streams of death threats like throughout this whole process. And maybe they're just actually worried about, like, if the judge actually sentenced Donald Trump to anything other than, you know, a fine and a short probation or something like that, that, you know, the judge and his family would actually be in physical danger. I don't know if that was part of it or not. He certainly didn't say so, but I've heard that speculation as well. So we are not having a sentence for Donald Trump. And the one other thing I'll say on that is there were also people talking about, well, you know, can you imagine if he actually went to jail before the election? He was never going to go to jail before the election. It would have been stayed pending appeal regardless. But knowing what he was sentenced to might make a difference to some people. But in terms of the political effect, it's unclear what it would be. On the one hand, yeah, okay, convicted criminal, sentenced to jail, whatever. Presumably there are at least a few people who would be turned off by that who are currently Trump supporters. But on the other hand, it would probably energize and enrage a bunch of them, make them want to vote for him even more. So like what effect it would have, if any, is completely unclear. Any thoughts, Yvonne, or have you fallen asleep? Or are you gone? Yvonne. Hello.
Yo.
Are you there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Did you fall asleep, Mr. Bo? What?
I'm clunking out. I'm running out of energy.
Okay. So you were falling asleep. Okay, we'll wrap this up pretty quickly then. You feel free to nap some more and just chime in if anything entices you. I mean,
there's not much to say in terms of, you know, any of these cases right now, other than the summary that you gave, to be honest. I mean, we had a lot of activity and things all of a sudden happened.
On these two,
whatever,
the other two are indefinitely paused. The one in Florida, of course, was dismissed and that's being appealed, but the schedule for that appeal is going to last months. It'll be a long time till we get, you know, any sort of result on whether or not the Florida one gets reinstated and whether or not it goes back to Judge Cannon or to somebody else. And the one in Georgia is similarly like on a long pause while the decision to let Fani Willis stay on that case is appealed. And that's also going to take months and months and months. So like,
right,
really the only one that was expected to actually come to anywhere approaching a conclusion was the New York one. And then that's punted towards late November now. And even then, like, you know, you're going to have years of appeals on all of these, even after you get to sentencing. But the New York one was the closest to actually getting to an end point, and it's pushed back a couple months too. So, you know, like we had, you know, one of our annual prediction show things was how many of these four cases would actually get to a conclusion this year. I think you said three and I said two. It looks like by the end of the year, we're talking one, and that's not going to be before the election, but you might actually get to a verdict in the New York case or possibly a dismissal at the end of November. So you will get it this year, just not before the election. And the other three, they're going to be going on for years. Like, well, yeah. Again, if Harris wins, if Trump wins, these are done. Like, well, if Trump wins, he's going to dismiss the federal ones. Like the two federal ones, he will make sure the DOJ drops them as soon as he's sworn in. The state ones are more complicated because he can't dismiss those. He can't order anything on those. However, courts in the past have, on civil cases, mind you, but I'm almost certain they would do the same thing. They basically would, like, if he was actually being sworn in as president, would just pause the case for 4 years and say,
right,
we'll get back to this once he's not president anymore.
Right.
So, like, yeah, while in theory he can't dismiss the New York and Georgia cases, in practice, I think both cases would end up paused. Now, if he wins and then New York sentences him to jail anyway, again, it's going to be appealed, and so the appeals will be paused. He's not going to go to jail before he becomes president. He's not going to have to be president from jail, anything like that. It would just all be paused for 4 years. And then at the end of that, you know, it gets resumed, assuming he even makes it through his 4 years. You know, he's getting up there, you know, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, okay. Did I have anything else I want to make sure to mention? Hunter Biden pled guilty.
Yes.
Anybody care?
That's it.
And actually, the important thing is this was not a plea deal with the prosecution. He just
pled guilty, period.
He's just pled guilty and is throwing himself at the mercy of the judge. And basically the play here is the judge is going to be like, you know, this is the kind of case that normally doesn't even come to trial. You know, you paid back the money to the IRS. This one's the IRS case, not the gun case. You paid back the money. Normally prosecutors don't even go after that. And so he's hoping the judge will, like, give him a suspended sentence or a light probation or something like that, and it's over, or fine. You know, we'll see how that goes. Oh, the one other thing to mention, which we don't need to talk a lot about, is before next time we talk, the Harris versus Trump presidential debate should have happened. It's scheduled for Tuesday. Unless there is a last minute, you know, somebody decides not to do it after all, we expect to have that happen on Tuesday. It is the same rules as that Biden debate. So Harris had wanted to try to change it, but it had already been agreed by the Biden campaign beforehand, and Trump was not changing it because it worked well for him last time, essentially. It's no audience. And there's going to be, their microphones are going to be muted when it's not your turn to talk. The Biden campaign had wanted that because they thought the crowd would energize Trump. Turns out the crowd also would have energized Biden, and he wasn't as good with no crowd. And they were also worried about Trump, you know, bullying and speaking over Biden and sort of winning in that sort of free form engagement where they were just sort of yelling at each other because Trump can yell louder. The Harris campaign wanted microphones on the whole time because they figured, while yes, Trump may try to interrupt, Harris would also be able to real time jump in and fact check and stuff when Trump said something wrong or stupid, she could just jump in and say something herself. She could do some interrupting. They tried to spin it as Trump's own folks are afraid of having an open mic because he might say something stupid. And I'm sure that's part of it, but a part of it was Harris wanted to interrupt herself. So apparently they've had to reshuffle some of their debate prep because they were really hoping mics would be on. And they're not going to be, so they have to adjust their approach a little bit. Anyway, that's it. We'll see how the debate goes. I expect this will go better for Harris than it went for Biden. At least I fucking hope so. You know, it would be horrible.
Yeah.
But I think Harris is pretty good at this, and Trump has been deteriorating further over the last couple months and doesn't seem like he really knows how the hell to handle somebody like Harris. And so he's been increasingly incoherent. There was a long clip of him answering a question about childcare policy that made no sense whatsoever, and that kind of stuff is just repeating. So
trillions
Yeah, he's somehow going to...
It's so much money.
Well, he's somehow going to solve childcare because of tariffs.
Tariffs.
That are going to...
And the deficit is going to be zero.
Yeah. I mean...
They're all going to be... They're all just going to pay.
Reading the whole thing, like, I actually think I know what it was trying to say. Being generous, he was saying, we're going to have such a great economy with so much extra money coming in that solving childcare won't be a problem. I think that's the one sentence version of what he was trying to say. But the actual reality was a long, rambling paragraph of nonsense and things that weren't related and things that, and the point is not that one specific thing. Maybe I'll drop the audio of that in after this, after the closing music, I'll drop the audio of that in if you want to listen to it. But it's just that he's increasingly incoherent. And this is just the latest example. So I think part of what Harris is hoping is that he goes on his long rambling things of nothing and she can jump in and appear competent and know what she's doing and blah, blah, blah. Now, whether that makes a difference to a lot of people, I don't know. Also, Trump has shown in these debates in the past that he can sort of hold it together and be reasonable for the first part of a debate. He usually doesn't make it to the end. But like for the first few questions, he can usually be somewhat disciplined. He just can't make it the whole 90 minutes. And at some point he falls apart.
Well, we'll see how much medication he's able to take before this one.
Well, yeah, people always speculate that, you know, that's because he's on something and then it wears off. But, you know.
Right.
There you go with the unfounded, unverifiable, you know, information, like misinformation, whatever. It's just like... You know, we just put out there that Donald Trump takes drugs, performance enhancing drugs for the debate. Like, there's no evidence of that. But people speculate. So, you know.
Yeah. We can't say that absolutely purposely it's not happening either.
Your sound just went wonky. Try that again.
You can't say with absolute certainty that it's not happening either.
No, you can't. Well, again, and that's your Steele dossier issue. Like so much is unverifiable. And a lot of the kinds of things that people who are pushing, you know, influence campaigns concentrate on is the things that are unverifiable one way or another, but sound reasonable. So anyway, we're done. Yvonne is falling asleep. I've got a call coming up with my dad momentarily. Zoom, not even a phone call. I'm doing Zoom with my dad now.
Zoom.
Oh, you remember the TV show Zoom? I just, since you mentioned it, you know.
I was thinking of the Mazda commercial.
Oh, I remember the Mazda commercial too. But there was
Zoom.
Yeah, but do you remember Zoom, the TV show Zoom when we were kids?
No.
Oh, come on. I mean, I know you watched.
Well, I remember Ghostbusters.
Well, and you remembered 3-2-1 Contact when we talked about it a while ago. Zoom was in the.
I remember 3-2-1 Contact.
Zoom was like a less sciencey thing, but the same vibe. I would say Zoom has the same vibe. Anyway. We are done. Go to curmudgeons-corner.com. You can find our archives. You can find links to all the ways to contact us. You can find a link to our YouTube where we're still doing live streams. This time you only saw a video of me because Yvonne was afraid to come on camera because of night.
No.
I don't think anyone watched the live stream this time, but if you prefer video, you can show up and you can go and you can watch this on video, the unedited version there. Oh, and by the way, the thing we use to record this, Riverside, does auto-generated AI sort of clips or AI-generated clips. The AI isn't generated us talking, but it picks clips from the show for social media sharing. And Alex really wants me to start putting some of those on TikTok. He put one up and said, hey, if this thing gets, you know, likes, more than one like, then, you know, we'll make an official Curmudgeon's Corner TikTok and put some of these clips on there. I don't really want to take the time and effort to do it, but like it got 2 likes. So like, you know, let me know if anybody, one of them was you, Yvonne. Let me know if anybody out there actually really would be interested in seeing an official Curmudgeon's Corner TikTok.
I liked it. How the fuck? I did.
You did. You liked it. That has like little 30-second snippets of Yvonne and I talking on video from these shows. It's like where the AI thinks that like this 30 seconds was really cool and interesting and blah, blah, blah. And it, sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not. If there is demand, I may do it. I don't know. I made my editing process a lot shorter, but I don't want to reverse that by adding more things I'm doing. So anyway, okay, we're done. You can also find on there our Patreon, where at various levels, we will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug. We will talk about you on the show, whatever. And $2 a month or more, we will invite you to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and others are chatting throughout the week and sharing links. Yvonne, do you have anything from the Slack you'd like to share this week before we say goodbye?
I not this week.
If we hadn't talked about it earlier, I would have done the chase glitch then, but then we would have ended up talking about it forever. I will, since you are not, I will do one thing from the Slack, which is a short one. Not Starlink, Starliner has landed.
Oh, it landed. It landed.
Yeah, without there the astronauts. They left the astronauts on the space station for safety because they were not sure if it would be safe or not. And they sent it back uncrewed. And it apparently has landed successfully. I haven't heard word if they've like examined it and it's all perfect inside and the astronauts would have been fine. But I presume so. It looks like it landed essentially without major incident. There was one thruster they deactivated before it even left the space station because it had issues.
Right.
And apparently there was at least one other thruster that acted up during the landing process, but they had plenty of redundancy and it landed anyway. So, but you know, whether or not Boeing's going to get another shot at this, still undetermined. So,
well, actually, my understanding is that
they're done.
You know, Bill Nelson, the director of NASA, saying that no, they're going to keep going.
Okay,
with this, they definitely need this.
They don't want to be completely reliant on SpaceX. They want to have alternatives.
Correct. Correct.
And like,
so, yeah.
And I wouldn't want to be, going. I wouldn't want to be completely reliant on Elon either. Right. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And just the general notion that they want redundancy. They want multiple systems so that if something goes wrong with one, they've got something else to fall back on.
We got stuck with it like for a while when the space shuttle, you know.
Yeah. And we had to rely on the Russians.
We had to run the Russians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we are done. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Have a good week. All that stuff. And yeah, stay on after the outro music and I'll include the little clip of Donald Trump. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye. Say goodbye, Yvonne.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, that's it. For the people watching the edited version, you'll have the Donald Trump. For people watching live, I'm hitting stop. Bye.
Bye.
If you win in November, can you commit to prioritizing legislation to make childcare affordable? And if so, what specific piece of legislation will you advance?
Well, I would do that. And we're sitting down. You know, I was somebody. We had Senator Marco Rubio, and my daughter Ivanka was so impactful on that issue. It's a very important issue. But I think when you talk about the kind of numbers that I'm talking about, that because the childcare is couldn't, you know, there's something you have to have it in this country, you have to have it. But when you talk about those numbers compared to the kind of numbers that I'm talking about by taxing foreign nations at levels that they're not used to, but they'll get used to it very quickly. And it's not going to stop them from doing business with us, but they'll have a very substantial tax when they send product into our country. Those numbers are so much bigger than any numbers that we're talking about, including childcare, that it's going to take care. We're going to have, I look forward to having no deficits within a fairly short period of time, coupled with the reductions that I told you about on waste and fraud and all of the other things that are going on in our country, because I have to stay with childcare. I want to stay with childcare, but those numbers are small relative to the kind of economic numbers that I'm talking about, including growth, but growth also headed up by what the plan is that I just told you about. We're going to be taking in trillions of dollars. And as much as childcare is talked about as being expensive, it's relatively speaking not very expensive compared to the kind of numbers we'll be taking in. We're going to make this into an incredible country that can afford to take care of its people. And then we'll worry about the rest of the world. Let's help other people. But we're going to take care of our country first. This is about America first. It's about make America great again. We have to do it because right now we're a failing nation. So we'll take care of it. Thank you. Very good question. Thank you.